I'm here with Mary Lindsay, the president of the Santa, of the Viticulture Association of the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I've been visiting the region the last few days, and we've been exploring the subregions of the Santa Cruz Mountains, which have recently been identified. And Mary can speak very clearly about these particular subregions, since she is a wine grower and lives in the Santa Cruz Mountains and heads up the association. So, Mary, tell me how this concept of subregions originated, and how it what is its usefulness?
Well, I think everyone here in the Santa Cruz Mountains has become aware that there are some regions that have very distinct flavor profiles. But to identify five, six major subregions is very new, and it was actually rather serendipitous. A number of us were working a few months ago with AppalachianAmerica.com. We submitted our wines for a series of varietal evaluations for Chardonnay, for Pinot Noir, and for Cabernet and Cab blends. And in doing so, we were faced with, you know, upwards of 60, 70, 80 wines, and how are we going to divide them reasonably into flights? So we thought, well, let's take a look at dividing them along geographic lines. That made sense. And in the back of our minds, I really think, was the thought that something really might come of this. And indeed, that ended up being the case. So what we discovered is that there are very distinct flavor profiles attached to various regions in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And this is a very large region. We have some 480,000 acres to the region from Woodside in the north and all the way down some maybe 60 miles as the crow flies to Watsonville, at the southernmost end of the Appalachian. And out of all that, we have maybe 1,500 acres planted to wine grapes. And a lot of our vineyards are tucked away in little pockets, some on the ridgetops, some nestled amongst the hillsides. And we have a lot of different microclimates. Some of our vineyards have their own distinct microclimates. But as a result, there's a lot of variation, and it's, I think, a lot for consumers to get a handle on. We are so vast and we are so disparate that by breaking out these regions, I think it helps everybody to get a better handle and a better understanding of what we are all about.
So what are the subregions that you identified?
Okay, well, starting in the north, we have the Skyline subregion. And that would include, and by the way, these subregions are based on where the grapes, where the wine grapes come from. So a winery may be sourcing fruit from various subregions, but we're talking about where the fruit is actually grown in the vineyards. So in the Skyline subregion, Thomas Fogarty, you know, has a winery there, and also their estate vineyards, so they would be included in that subregion. We also have La Honda, we have Woodside Winery, we have Clos de la Tech, we have Reese, Varner. So that's at the northernmost end of the region, really south, just south of San Francisco. And then moving a little further south, we have Saratoga, Los Gatos. And in that area, we have Mount Eden, We have Black Ridge, Cooper Garrett, Cinnabar, Savannah Chanel, and their estate vineyards. Then continuing south, we have the Summit area. And so far, what we've talked about are largely regions that are at fairly higher elevations. Skyline, for example, Thomas Fogarty is, I think, at about, well, a couple thousand feet elevation. When we get to the Summit subregion, though, we're really getting some of the highest vineyards in the Santa Cruz Mountains, at 2,600 feet or close to it, some down to maybe 2,000 feet. But we're talking about higher elevation vineyards. So we have Burrell School, we have Silver Mountain, and some of the vineyards that Silver Mountain sources from, like Miller Hill. We have Munn's Vineyard, Loma Prieta, all of those of which produce Pinot Noir. The fourth subregion would be what we've called Los Ranchos. And that's really the area from the Summit area moving towards the coast. So, from here, from the Summit, we're starting to move down in elevation. But even so, these could be vineyards from 2,000 feet going down to about 800 feet closer to the coast. And wineries and vineyards would include like Wines of Vine Hill and some of the vineyards that they source from, including Stu Miller, Raffaele. We have Close Tita. We have Heart of the Mountain. And actually, we have a lot of wineries and vineyards in this region.
That's fine.
And then the southernmost subregion would be Corralitos, Pleasant Valley. And there we have Windy Oaks, Martin Alfaro, Pleasant Valley Vineyards, Nicholson Vineyards. Those are Pinot producers. We also have Martin Ranch and other Cabernet-producing wineries tucked further back into the warmer areas behind the foothills, getting closer to Mount Madonna. And along the coast in Corralitos, where it's cooler, is a prime Pinot-growing region.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't there one additional?
Oh, there is. and that is Ben Lomond Mountain, which is a sub-appellation. So let me make very clear that what we're talking about when we talk about these sub-regions, these are not sub-appellations. These are geographical and climactic areas that help people to better understand our wines and the differences in the wines produced in each of these areas. But it's not an attempt to divide the appellation by subregion. This is still all the Santa Cruz Mountains. Ben Lomond is a sub-appellation, of the Santa Cruz Mountains. But it would be the sixth subregion.
And where is Ben Lomond?
Ben Lomond is actually north of Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. So it sort of fits into an area bordered by the Los Ranchos area and then, Los Gatos, Saratoga. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these subregions are not generally identified on wine labels. So from a consumer standpoint, it wouldn't necessarily be able to tell which subregion the wine came from unless down the road you're going to provide maps and more information about that so that people will be able to understand the regions.
Well, that's right. They are not on labels. Mm-hmm. And this is all very new. It's all very new to us. It's very new to everyone here, all the wineries and the vineyards in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And so I think people are trying to we're trying to better understand it ourselves. And these are kind of very gross divisions. Not everyone, you know, fits neatly into these flavor profiles that we've defined for each, but it very much underscores and points out that this is a very diverse region. The wines we produce are very different. That's one of the things, I mean, within the region, that's one of the things that makes it so interesting and fascinating, that there are commonalities within a subregion and that each of them are different from each other. And it should just help people to better understand what we're producing. But there is an opportunity for people, actually a couple of opportunities for people to better explore what we're talking about. One of these is a preview of this sub-regional concept at World of Pinot Noir. The first weekend of March at Shell Beach. Okay. The first weekend of March at Shell Beach. And we have half a dozen of our wineries participating in a special focus session on Santa Cruz Mountain Pinots. We will be introducing this sub-regional concept there. People will have a chance to taste the wines from five of the sub-regions. We will have a winery representing each. We have Martin Alfaro. We have Jeffrey Patterson pouring from Mount Eden. And so Mount Eden would represent the Los Gatos Saratoga subregion, Martin Alfaro representing Corralitos Pleasant Valley. We have both Munn's Vineyard and Silver Mountain representing the Summit area. Michael Martella will pour for Thomas Fogarty representing the Skyline subregion. And then Sal Godinez, the winemaker at Vine Hill, representing the Los Ranchos subregion. And then, so this is just a taste of this sub-regional concept at World of Pinot Noir. Later in the month, the last weekend of March, is when the Santa Cruz Mountains, when we have our big Pinot celebration, which is Pinot Paradise. And this will really be an opportunity for people to immerse themselves in Pinot from the Santa Cruz Mountains and to really more fully explore this sub-regional concept. We'll have about 40 wineries pouring Santa Cruz Mountains Pinots at Pinot Paradise, and they will be divided by subregion, so people can have an opportunity to taste probably at least, you know, half a dozen wines from each and really understand the differences and what this is all about.
Can you just briefly, very succinctly, tell me about the flavor profiles of the different subregions?
Well, first, let me tell you that there is an overall characteristic to the wines from the Santa Cruz Mountains, from the Appalachian as a whole. And really, whether we're talking about Pinot Noir or Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon, what we are known for is a balanced acidity to our wines. So we have an acidity level built in to the wine grapes that we grow, as well as a minerality. So with the soils that we have here and the climate that we have, it's this acidity and minerality that is really common across the board. When we talk about the subregions, I'm going to talk about Pinot Noir specifically because we have been preparing for these Pinot events. We have the flavor profiles more clearly defined for Pinot Noir. So in Skyline, from the Skyline subregion, our Pinot Noirs, again, we get this balanced acidity. The fruit is very lively and bright, red berries, cranberry, guava, cocoa, allspice, orange peel on the spice. In Saratoga and Los Gatos, the flavor profile for Pinot, again, the distinct acidity. The fruit, we start getting into more raspberry and dark cherry fruit. And the spice becomes more one of what we're calling a mountain spice. Balsam, sage. If you close your eyes, and I can see some of the vineyards, you know, in some of these sub-regions, you can almost smell, you know, the mountain, the chaparral, and the trees, the pine trees, and then taste it reflected in our wines, our Pinots especially. Off of Summit Road, the Pinot Noirs can generally be very bold, full-bodied. The fruit, raspberry again, cherry, pomegranate, but they can also be more floral and smoky, and again with dark chocolate. Los Ranchos, moving towards Santa Cruz and the coast. These Pinots can also be big and complex. The fruit is more cranberries or lolliberries. You can also get this chocolatey flavor. And the spice is more coriander. In Corralitos, Pleasant Valley, the flavor profile for Pinots, the color tends to be very brilliant. The fruit, we start talking about hibiscus, blueberry, spice, we get into bay, even a kind of a root beer, sometimes a nectarine on the nose.
Good. Now, for more information, the websites that are available?
Okay, for more information, you can get information certainly about Pinot Paradise from the SCMWA's website. That would be scmwa.com. And they will have information posted there about the subregions and these flavor profiles, as well as on the website of the Viticulture Association at vascm.org. And then for information on the presentation that we're doing at World of Pinot Noir, that's on that event's website at worldofpinotnoir.com, I believe.
That's right.
Yes.
In association with the Pinot Paradise event, you mentioned the tasting, extensive tasting from 40 wineries, but there's also the opportunity to actually go out and explore the region yourself the day before, because the wineries will be holding open houses, and it's a rare opportunity to visit a lot of wineries that are not usually open to the public, and you can actually get more of a feel for what these regions are like.
Yes, that's true. So this is a two-day event. On Saturday, the wineries are open for what we call Pinot Pathways, and you can visit our Pinot wineries. There are about at least 40 of them in the Santa Cruz Mountains. They don't all have tasting rooms, but there will be a good many of them open for Pinot Pathways on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Sunday morning, we have a technical session, and the subregions will be explored during this technical session, and we'll really do a comparative tasting and bring in speakers to talk about growing wine in the mountains and the challenges of growing wine in the mountains. And also about these subregions, and really drill down and explore the subregions and these different flavor profiles during the tech session. And then Sunday afternoon is the big Grand Cruise tasting, when you can go out and taste. There will be some 80 Pinots poured from the Santa Cruz Mountains, paired with food from at least a dozen participating restaurants, including some of these restaurants already that we know include Treviz in Los Gatos, the restaurant James Randall, and others that have confirmed.
Well, I know personally, my experience has been that this is a terrific event. It's very intimate. It's not overcrowded. And it's a real opportunity to get to know the region and get to know the wonderful wines from the Santa Cruz Mountains. Well, thanks a lot, Mary. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to talk about us.